trip back in time. Today we're going deep on Iceland's tourism boom.
How they went from, like, almost totally unknown to everyone wanting to go there.
Yeah. From obscurity to total hotspot.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Totally. It's wild.
So I've got this whole stack of articles here, and it's amazing how different things were just 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Like, 50 years ago, you practically never saw a foreigner in Iceland.
It's so hard to imagine that now, right? With Iceland being, like, the place everyone wants to go, what was it actually like back then?
Well, imagine this. A super homogenous population, barely any infrastructure for tourists, and the economy was basically just fishing and agriculture.
So anyone coming in from outside Iceland was there for work, or maybe knew somebody there. Not really sightseeing, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
The articles mentioned that even finding someone who spoke English, unless they had had a good education, was tough.
Right. It was like its own little world, their language, the culture, and this crazy dramatic landscape that nobody really knew about.
But even with all that isolation, the world did start getting these little peeks at what Iceland had to offer, right?
You're right. It's like these big natural events, even though they were bad, you know, things like volcanic eruptions and avalanches, they kind of drew attention to Iceland.
Okay.
Like, for instance, there was that volcanic eruption back in 73 on Hymi in the Westman Islands. It was this huge reminder of, like, how powerful nature is in Iceland. Unpredictable, too.
Almost like little sneak previews, huh? Of what Iceland was hiding.
Yeah, kind of. But then, on top of that, Iceland started getting noticed for some pretty surprising stuff. That's when things got interesting.
Okay, so instead of just volcanoes making headlines, it was like suddenly people realized, hey, Iceland's kind of killing it.
Yeah, exactly. When a country does well in something you don't expect, it makes people wonder what's up.
Like, what's their secret?
Right. What's going on over there? What's in the water in Iceland?
So what were some of those things that put Iceland on the map, besides the natural stuff?
Well, for one, their athletes started doing really well internationally. They were crushing it in triathlons, anything that needed, like, crazy strength and stamina.
Yeah, and then there were the strongmen, right?
Oh, yeah, strongmen.
Like those competitions where they lift those huge things?
Those are the ones. They were just dominating, showing off this almost superhuman strength and resilience.
Making Iceland look like this nation of, like, super-powered people.
Totally. And the articles even mention Icelandic women winning beauty pageants all over the world.
Right. That had to change some people's ideas about Iceland, huh?
Yeah, it really did. Showed that this isolated Nordic nation wasn't just tough. You know, they had grace and beauty, too.
It's like Iceland was saying, look, we're more than just ice and volcanoes. We've got something special going on.
Exactly. And on top of all that, you can't talk about Iceland's rise to fame without talking about music.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, think about Björk.
Her music is so unique.
Björk changed the game. Her performances, so avant-garde and her musical style, it just captivated everyone. She brought this mix of, like, artistry and otherworldly sounds that put Iceland on the map as this creative hub.
And then there's Sigur Rós, too.
Exactly. Their music, all those ethereal soundscapes just added another dimension to Icelandic art, all that emotional depth and sonic innovation.
It wasn't just catchy tunes. It was stuff that made you think, you know, made people wonder about the culture and the landscape that inspired that kind of music.
You're so right. It really started to connect with this global audience that was getting more and more into authentic experiences.
And what could be more authentic than a country shaped by volcanoes and glaciers with this, like, spirit of adventure woven right into it?
Right. You got it.
Okay. So we've got these crazy natural events, these incredible athletes, captivating beauty queens, and then this whole music scene that's making people sit up and take notice.
It's like this perfect storm brewing for their tourism industry.
Exactly. But we haven't even talked about what might be Iceland's biggest draw.
Yeah.
The landscape itself.
Oh, yeah. The landscape.
It's insane, right? Volcanoes, geysers, black sand beaches, glaciers. It's almost like something out of a dream.
You said it. It's unreal.
Yeah.
A landscape of extremes. Yeah, you could say that.
It's stark, but it's stunning, right?
Yeah.
Look at pictures and you get that sense of raw power.
It just grabs you.
You feel tiny, but also kind of connected to everything.
That's it. That's it. Exactly.
And it's not just about looking at it, right? Iceland is like Adventureland.
Oh, totally. The whole place just begs to be explored.
Hiking, climbing, ice caves, even going into, like, dormant volcanoes.
It's a dream for anyone who loves that kind of thrill.
Speaking of thrills, the articles were talking a lot about how Iceland's tourism is really pushing adventure tourism.
Yeah.
What does that even involve? Am I picturing, like, bungee jumping off a glacier?
Huh. Not quite, though. That does sound kind of fun.
Right.
But yeah, adventure tourism there is all about pushing those boundaries, seeing the wilder side of the country.
Okay, so maybe no bungee jumping. What are we talking about then?
Well, glacier hiking is huge. Think about it. Trekking across these massive glaciers, seeing that incredible blue
I've
ice.
seen pictures of the ice caves there. They look
Oh,
amazing.
they are. Going into one is like entering another world. The light filtering through the ice makes these crazy colors, blues and
And
turquoise.
the ice formations themselves are just unreal. Okay, glaciers, ice caves, what else?
If you're really looking for an adrenaline rush, there's snowmobiling. Racing across these huge ice fields.
Wow,
You
yeah.
can feel the wind taking those amazing views.
I remember reading about these troll jeeps. What are those?
Huh. They sound pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
They're these modified vehicles built to handle Iceland's highlands.
What's so special about the Hilux?
Oh man, that's where the real wilderness is. Rugged mountains, lava fields, wild
And
rivers.
I bet the weather up there is.
Unpredictable, yeah. So you need a vehicle that can handle anything.
Hence, the troll jeep.
Exactly. Big tires, high clearance, they can get you through almost anything.
What kind of adventures can you have with those things?
Oh, tons. You can explore these remote valleys, ford rivers, find hidden hot springs. It's the best way to see the real Iceland, away from the crowds.
We've talked about volcanoes a lot, but what about actually going inside one? I mean, a dormant one.
That's something else. Lava caves, those tunnels, they take you right back into Iceland's volcanic past.
Wow.
You can see these crazy formations from the lava, and some tours even take you into the magma chambers of dormant
It's like
volcanoes.
going into the Earth's core.
It really is.
So much to see. But gotta ask, with all this focus on adventure, what about the weather?
Oh, yeah, you can't forget about the weather in Iceland.
What should people be prepared for?
Well, they have these really strong seasonal contrasts, which totally change what you can do.
Yeah.
In summer, you've got those long daylight hours, perfect for hiking, exploring, and experiencing the midnight sun, obviously.
Right.
But even in summer, the weather can shift in a heartbeat. You get temperature swings, sun and wind gusts. You gotta be ready.
What about winter?
Oh, winter is magical. Northern lights, the whole place turns into this snowy wonderland. But it's definitely the hardest time to visit.
I bet. Snow, ice.
It's not just the cold. You're talking heavy snowfall, icy roads, strong winds, and very little daylight.
So winter's for the series adventurers then.
Yeah, you could say that, but for those who are up for the challenge, it's unforgettable. Glacier hiking, ice caving, those are still options, though you got to be extra careful.
Makes sense.
And then there are the ice hotels. Can you imagine spending the night in a place made entirely of ice?
Wow. So whether it's summer or winter, Iceland's got a different set of challenges and different rewards.
That's the beauty of it.
The key is being prepared, respecting the environment, and just embracing the adventure, huh?
Exactly. Iceland's landscape is stunning, but it demands respect. You got to be ready for anything.
Okay, so we've gone from Iceland being this isolated place 50 years ago to its fame with these amazing athletes and musicians, and then this incredible landscape that's perfect for adventures.
It's quite a story.
It really is. So what about the tourism industry itself? How has it changed?
It's been a crazy transformation. From practically nothing to one of the country's biggest industries.
That's amazing. So what's the scene like there today?
Booming. They've got everything you could want. Luxury hotels, cozy guest houses, campsites.
Something for everyone, huh?
Yeah. And the transportation's really good, so getting around and exploring is easy.
I imagine Reykjavik, being the capital, is kind of at the center of all that.
Reykjavik is a hub, yeah. It's got this cool mix of cultural stuff, museums, art, a lively nightlife, and then, of course, easy access to all the natural wonders.
So you've got the city life and then the wild landscape all right there.
Exactly. You can be in Reykjavik and then hop on a tour to the Golden Circle or the Blue Lagoon or head out into those highlands we talked about.
The city itself has a cool vibe too, right?
Oh, yeah. Colorful buildings, friendly people. You can just feel the creativity.
Speaking of tours, I bet there's a ton to choose from.
Oh, tons. They cater to all budgets, all interests. High-end guided tours, budget-friendly self-drive adventures.
Wow.
You can find tours that focus on one thing, like glacier hiking or whale watching, or others that give you a broad overview.
So there really is something for everyone.
That's part of what makes them so successful. They're adaptable, always coming up with new things, and they're focused on meeting the needs of all these travelers coming in.
But all that success has to come with some challenges, right?
Of course.
I think the articles mentioned concerns about over-tourism
Yeah, that's a real thing.
and the need for sustainable practices to protect the environment.
Definitely.
So what are some of the biggest hurdles they're facing?
Well, over-tourism is a big one. Some areas, especially the popular spots close to Reykjavik, have seen way more visitors than they used to.
What kind of impact does that have?
It can strain their infrastructure, put pressure on resources, and it really changes the experience for everyone.
Yeah, I can see that.
Imagine overcrowded trails, long lines, all that peace and quiet gone.
That would definitely change the feel of the place.
Yeah. So they're taking sustainability seriously.
What are they doing specifically?
They're trying to control the number of visitors in sensitive areas, investing in better infrastructure, and promoting responsible tourism.
What does that look like? Responsible tourism.
Educating visitors, teaching them how to minimize their impact, how to be respectful of the communities there, and how to support businesses that are operating sustainably.
So finding that balance, right, between the economic benefits of tourism and protecting what makes Iceland unique.
Exactly. Making sure tourism is good for Iceland long term without sacrificing the things that make it so special.
It's an interesting challenge, and one that a lot of places are facing.
You're right, it's not unique to Iceland.
So we've gone from Iceland being isolated 50 years ago to this global tourism hotspot.
A huge shift.
What do you think Iceland's story can teach us about tourism in general?
I think it shows how powerful it can be when a nation embraces its identity, to attract global interest.
Like they said, hey, we got glaciers, we got volcanoes, but we also got strong men and beauty queens.
Right. And incredible music.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't like they tried to copy what everyone else was doing.
They celebrated what made them different. And people responded to that authenticity.
And they've managed all this growth while still trying to protect what makes Iceland special.
It's definitely a balancing act.
It is. It takes a lot of work, a lot of collaboration, but you can see that sustainability is really important to them.
Absolutely. It's encouraging to see.
It is. You know, after looking at all this, I'm kind of getting the urge to book a flight.
To Iceland.
Yeah, see those ice caves? Maybe try some of that Skyr yogurt everyone's talking
I
about.
don't blame you. Iceland has this way of like grabbing hold of your imagination.
It
It
does.
just pulls you in.
So we've covered a lot of ground today, from those early days when Iceland was so isolated to now being this top travel destination.
It's quite a journey.
It really is. But here's a question for you and for everyone listening. What kind of Iceland adventure would you choose?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Would you go for the glaciers? Hike across those ancient ice formations?
Or maybe you'd be more drawn to the volcanoes, the lava caves.
Right, or even going into a dormant volcano.
Imagine that.
What about the northern lights? Would you want to spend your nights watching those incredible lights dance across the sky?
That would be amazing.
Or maybe you'd be more interested in the cultural side, spending time in Reykjavik, soaking up the art and music scene.
There are so many possibilities.
And that's the beauty of Iceland. There really is something for everyone.
For the thrill seeker, the nature lover, anyone who wants to experience something truly unique.
Exactly. I think Iceland's journey proves that sometimes the most amazing places are the ones that are hidden for a long time, just waiting to be discovered.
That's a great way to put it.
So keep dreaming, keep exploring, and who knows? Maybe someday you'll find yourself standing on that volcanic soil, breathing in that fresh Icelandic air, experiencing it all firsthand. Until then, happy travels.